Hebrews, 9th chapter, 24th verse. You're going to love this. You're going to love this. You want to hear good news? This is it. For Christ did not enter into the Holy of Holies made by hand. Types of the true things, of which Jesus is the antitype, but he entered into heaven itself on your behalf. He didn't go down into the Jewish temple and then make a sacrifice or an offering or do an atonement or something. His blood he showed to the Father. And so he just went in heaven itself. Say, I'm going to do this because I love you so much. I'm going to do this on your behalf. Because you can't be perfect like I am. So I'll just do it for you. That's what he's saying. So Jesus didn't, he preached the kingdom of God. He didn't preach the kingdom of man. He didn't teach about secular things or things of this world. He taught the opposite. That he went, he didn't enter into a covenant in the Holy of Holies under a law. He entered into heaven itself on your behalf. That is amazing. I mean, that is amazing because all of us are sinful. I don't know. I'm looking around. I see Chad here. It's sin, a sinner. Another Peggy, sinner. So on and so forth. Clay, sinner. Larry, sinner. Sinner. Yeah. So we're all sinners. So he can't do it under a law because under a law, nothing's made perfect. Nothing, 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 nothing. So he didn't enter into a covenant out of the Holy of Holies as though he were a high priest of Judaism. He never even went in once a year on Yom Kippur. He never even went in to cover sins as a high priest of Judaism. He skipped that. He never did preach on that. Preached against it. He was opposed to it. He objected. Just like Americans objected against Britain, you know, passing the Stamp Act and later on the Townshend, you know, all those things to punish America because Britain was on its way to empire, world empire in the 19th century. And so they had the French and Indian War. And that he wanted to make the Americans pay for it because they were beneficiaries of it. And the Americans said, no, we appeal to higher law. And so you don't have a right here. We carved this out, not you. This is our wilderness here, and we had to suffer for it for years. And now we finally have something going, and you want us to pay for it? No way. You did all of that. That was for your own kingdom building. Now you're broke. Too bad. So, we're not going to do it. And Boston Tea Party and all that kind of stuff. And so, the Americans wrote that, you know, we didn't break the covenant, you did. We had a covenant with the king, not Parliament. We're not under Parliament. Parliament's for, you know, Brits and, you know, whoever else over there in Ireland or whatever. But not here. Here, we built this place with our own hands. We chopped the trees and we built the bricks and so on and so forth. And we like it here. We like being self-governing. It's kind of an experiment, you know. Hey, let's see what happens. You talk about it, but we don't do anything. We're gonna actually make an experiment here. Just see what, because we're used to it. We've been doing it for, you know, 150 years. And we like it. We like having England far away. And we like not obeying something that the king gave us our documents. We have them from the king. And if he's going to break his word, we're breaking ours. We only obey because you protect us. But if you start making war on us, we're not protected and fooey on you, we'll fight to the death. Well, that's the way the Americans thought. Can you see how I'm thinking? And so they drew on, you know, Blackstone, one of their lawyers, and they, which all of those things began to come out, and a lot of people in England liked us. and said, you know, maybe the Americans have a right not to pay these things that are going to break them, because it'll destroy our industry, because they had us in a bottleneck where we had to send them raw product and they sent back expensive, you know, items that they had produced over there, and we had to buy from them alone. You couldn't buy from anybody else. So it was a monopoly, and we didn't like building their empire. So we fought them and we won. We won, you lost. And it looked like George Washington had an idea. Retreat, 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 retreat. Just like here at Sam Houston, same thing. I mean, you have 5,000, 10,000 troops on the other side from Mexico coming to destroy us. We don't have that. We have, you know, maybe 1,000 or two. I mean, we don't have that many people here. But hey, by golly, we're not going to accede to being slaves and being forced to be Catholics. We're not against Catholic. We're only against being forced by the government. We just don't want you to do that. We have Catholics here, fought in the Revolution, and they stayed Catholic. But they didn't want to be ruled by it either. And so everybody here said, no, this is the line. We're drawing this line. We're not going to cross it. So, too bad. And we'll fight for it and die for it. Remember the Alamo. And so that was a diversionary tactic, because if the Alamo hadn't fallen, that bought time for Houston to escape. And then later, we won. And they couldn't believe it. How can you beat us? We retreated. Whenever we saw your armies coming, we retreated. And the same thing they learned from the Americans is, you know, we didn't have any regulars. We didn't have any regular people. And so we just kind of we didn't line up with red uniforms so you can see us. And they marched forward, and line one shoots and line two shoots and so on and so forth. And they just picked them off from the woods, you know, behind trees and rocks and stuff. And they picked them off, and eventually they slaughtered them. And the British lost tons. And even though we had to fight for it, for our very lives, they decided, well, let's stick together. We've never been known as Americans. We're just colonial of the king. But since he broke his word, we're breaking ours. You don't protect us, we're not going to accept what you say, because you're trying to destroy us, turn us into slaves. No, we've been free. We're going to remain free. We're like free Englishmen, and we're going to be just like that. But we'll do it ourselves. We don't want you telling us what to do. You stick over there where you belong. Now, they didn't fight an aggressive war over there. They fought it right here in our own territory. When you're defending your own territory, the battle's right here. Everybody's involved. Everybody lost, you know, people. But that way, you can tell this is a serious war. We're not doing it across the seas. We do it that way today to spare the American people, so you can go about your daily work. But while they're doing it in Iraq or Iran or Al-Qaeda or wherever, they're trying to then say, it's not right, it's self-preservation. Says, hey, we need to follow self-preservation. You're kind of destroying our life, liberty, and property. We don't want that. So that's all about America. Now, let's read this, because it's good news. This is from God's point of view. He's the one offended, and he decides to pay the debt that you owe him. So that's funny. He decides, now you owe me everything, and I don't think I'm going to collect, because most of you are sinful, wicked. And I don't think you're good for your word. So I think I'll just do it for you and do it for free and give it to you. And then somebody thinks, well, how can God do that? How can he do it? Don't you know we're all sinners? And he said, well, I created him, so if I want to, I can forgive a sinner. If I want to, I can forgive them. Or if I want to, I can show favor to them, even though they're sinners. Well, that's the first God in the world that ever come up with this idea. Because all the other gods are not gods at all. They're just demons. Did you hear what I just said? They're demons. They're just demons. That's in Corinthians. I mean, it's just demons. You just made them up. They're just making stuff up. And that's why I'm in Uganda, is because that's where witchcraft first started after the Tower of Babel. Right there in Uganda. Right there at the head of the river. That witchcraft went out through the whole world from that witchcraft place. And it's still there. It's still there. But a few years ago, I don't know if you were that on that trip. You were? Yeah. When we were on the island and all that?
Yeah.
Island? Yeah. Well, that was a powerful trip. We had lots of people from this church. Mm-hmm. And while I was there, I said to Joel, "Hey, Joel, hey, don't forget that we want to see the king's tombs."
Clay was there.
Clay was there.
Yeah.
And the only one that was smart, because we didn't know we were going on the water that day, and the sun was really, really, really hot. And we all got sunburned except Lynn. She had a hat on. For some reason, she was more intelligent than the rest of us.
Had a little parasol.
And she had a little parasol, however she had it. And she was protected. And the rest of us all had red faces because we didn't know it would be hours. We were going for an island and so on and so forth. That's where I got the idea of 12 chairs. Because this is an island where people are barely dressed and so on and so forth. And they didn't have any blackboard or whiteboard or, you know, magic markers. They didn't have anything. I thought, well, how can I teach without a blackboard? I need something. And the only thing they had there was outdoors and there's no roof on it and so on and so forth. So we were there and I said, well, the only thing you have here is chairs. So I set up some chairs and taught on it. And right away, as soon as I finished, they didn't even think about it. One guy jumped up and he just sat down on chair number two. This is my chair. And he totally understood it. I'm a hypocrite, you know. And he had no bones about it, you know. Just, I'm a hypocrite, you know. I'm a Christian, but in name only, but I really do my own thing. So I'm a hypocrite. The next guy sat up. And said, so it was amazing how they totally grasped it because those people there they're really, really smart. Even though they look primitive, they know how to get stuff done. And so they memorize stuff because they don't have any schools, they don't have anything. We're introducing that out now, but they're just modernizing now. I mean, that's a long way from, they're at least 100 years behind us. More. Much more, actually. Anyway, so God has an agenda. I believe God has an agenda. I believe God likes just government and religious liberty. That's what I believe. Why? Because unless you have religious liberty in the foundation of the people, society, the jural society, unless you have religious liberty for all men, you'll never have a just government. So all just government in America, all just government in Texas is founded on God's word. You got to have religious liberty. Nobody ever invented that in the world. Somebody said, oh, let the people be free. Nobody wanted anyone to be free, even in Greece. Yeah, the people were free that were free, but the people that were slaved were slaved. So they didn't believe in it either. That was a big problem in America. They knew theoretically everybody, all men are created equal. But in practice, let's have slaves. Well, that was a pragmatic solution to a moral problem. And we had to have a war over that. To see who could win on that. And the South lost. But the idea of the nation being just and doing what was right. Well, when you get into a war, everything kind of degenerates. So we learned the hard way. Civil wars are worse than foreign wars. So you don't want those, because you got brother fighting brother, family fighting family. And so God has been teaching us a lesson, but I believe God still wants religious liberty when he comes back. He's coming back soon. When he comes back, maybe in your lifetime, he's coming back after the tribulation, 1260 days. After that tribulation, when Jesus comes back, it's over. Then the next 1,000 years will be the millennium. 1,000 years of righteousness ruling the earth. Now, most people are not even aware of what I'm saying. They know it's in the Bible. They don't understand it. All the vengeance is for the wicked. So we're pre-wrath. But we're post-tribulation. So during the tribulation, if you are serious Christian, meaning perfected by God, not you, if you're a serious Christian, then you'll be in a safe place. God will make a house of refuge for you so that anyone that lives a godly life will be protected. And then when Jesus comes back, you'll go to heaven and float around on clouds. How many know that that's hard to do today? It's real hard. I've never stepped out of an airplane like that and floated. But you didn't know when that trump sounds, you're getting a new body that floats on clouds. Jesus can do it. He went away in a cloud. He's coming back in a cloud. So when he comes back a second time, it's the same way. He'd be clouded up and now clouded down. And then we're going to go up and cloud. Because we immediately, when that trumpet sounds, you have a new heart. But you don't have a new soul or a new body. Because your new body can't live in clouds. But this one, this new body, you will be able to. And you'll be ruling and reigning over all the earth in heaven with Jesus, the bride, and the Lamb. And you'll be doing whatever God does in heaven. As in heaven, so on earth. As in heaven, so on earth. Whatever God does in heaven, we'll do that on earth. That'll be the most righteous kingdom that's ever existed. It's never been here up until now. There's no peace on earth, goodwill toward men. So that's coming. So let me read this to you. It's too powerful. Too powerful. And it's not preached. For Christ did not enter into the Holy of Holies, made by hand, which are types of the true things, but he entered into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God on our behalf. Wow! That's incredible. That is incredible. Do you see that? You can't do what you owe. You can't pay the debt you owe, what he paid for you. And you can't perfect yourself. He'll have to do that for you. And you can't cleanse yourself of all sin. He'll do that for you. And you can't inherit. He'll do that for you. He'll do everything for you because you are incompetent. There's no one here that can even deal with a smallest sin. Nobody. Even a small sin. You can't be perfect. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So everybody's fallen short. Everybody's fallen short. So everybody here is a contradiction. In other words, you believe one thing and live another. Everybody. I'm sorry to say that to you, but this is pathetic, but you're like me. You're awful. You're awful. You're a contradiction. You're a contradiction. You say one thing, you lip service, but you do another. And you have sins. How many know that you still have, even though you forgave your sins in chair 4, they're not gone. And every day, you have to confess those sins again. You know, fear, and envy, and lust, and bitterness, and so on and so forth. You have to get rid of those Girgashites and Malachites and so on in the land. And every day, they just keep popping up. And we haven't gotten rid of them yet until you get that new body. And that you didn't do that either. God did that. And so everything you owe to God. I mean, you owe a God everything. But he's not going to make you pay. He paid for you. He paid for you. Christ did not get down on Judaism and be the high priest to offer sacrifices and so on. He offered his own blood. And he appeared in the presence of God and say, you see this blood in my fingers here? You see this blood on my legs and up here in my skull? That's all for Jim Borchert. I love that. I think that's good news. That's for him. Yeah, I like Jim. What did I do? What did I do? I was as bad as David. I was as bad as David. Did you know that I have flaws? I mean, hope you don't talk to Peggy and find out. She has a list. She has a list. And she's checking it twice and going to find out who's naughty and nice. And she's the nice and I'm the naughty. I've always been that way. I'm a natural liar, cheat, a thief, con artist, and so on. I'm a natural. I look innocent, but I am not. Everything I've ever done, I deliberately, consciously, knowingly did it. I knew I was not a Christian. I never, ever, 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 ever thought. Now, that was nice. I never thought that. I knew everything I did was for my own benefit, my own advantage, my own profit. I just wanted to have Peg bear all the burden and me get all the blessing. You don't think that's funny. But it's the truth. I never thought about her one whit. She would just say, you say you love me. Is that by faith? Yeah. So you really don't feel that? No. And you don't think of me all the time? No. And you don't really want to do things for me? No. How many would like to be married to me? It's not a very good offering, but, you know, you're all the same. We're all the same. We're all the same. You're just lying to yourself. It's just that I knew what I was doing. It's wrong. Evil. I've never hidden from it. I've never hidden from God, even though I didn't believe in God. I never hid from him. Whatever I read in the Bible, it sounded good to me, but I didn't believe in it. I don't really believe a holy God would want to forgive a rotten person like myself. It just staggered me. What would he want to do that for? I wouldn't even like me if I met me. I'm evil and cold and nasty and so on and so forth. So I'm nothing like I am now. I'm now improved. I'm cleaned up. Praise the Lord. Yeah, because I went through chair five and Jesus did that. He destroyed a lot of my sins, but I've kept a few just in case. Yeah. In case he doesn't come through, I've kept them.
That's right. Yeah.
How many know you have a anger problem?
Yeah.
I mean, just show me some hands and so on. Okay, so you have an anger problem. How many know you have a pride problem? Yeah, pride. How many know you have a fear problem? You're worried and stressed out and so on. You got all these problems. Everybody has them. Everybody. There's not a person on earth who say, well, I never had that one. That's good. That's good. You never had that one? Well, in about 5 minutes, God will show you, you have that one. Well, I was never like you. Yeah, sure. We're all alike. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All. That's sad. But anyway, that's the way it is. So everybody is not nice. Everybody is not nice. How many know nice people go to hell? No, you don't believe that, but that's what I'm telling you. It's not in the Bible. It says if you try to establish your own righteousness, God hates that. That's called lukewarm. I mean, if you try to say, God, I'm perfect, nah, he doesn't buy that. I mean, you can laugh afterward as a joke, but everybody is the same. We're all the same. We're all in one boat. And nobody has ever been good. You just imagined. It was just it's called vain imagination. You have a vain imagination that you're better than other people, or you're smarter than other people, or you're stronger than other people, and so on. This is all nonsense. You're just same as me. And so I like the Bible because it tells the truth. Everything in the Bible is truth. And I read it, and I just think to myself, I used to think this all the time when I was not a Christian. I used to think Christians are all hypocrites. So I don't want to be one. But I used to think, well, if I ever was one, and I'm not interested in this God whom I don't believe in, I'm not interested in this, but I wouldn't be a hypocrite. I'd come clean on that. Well, coming clean doesn't save you either. There's no reward. How many know being nice doesn't pay? I mean, it does for scouts and stuff like that, but it really doesn't pay. I see. You do it because you're pleasing people. You're doing it because you want a reward. You're doing it from very nasty motives that you hid from yourself, so you think you're nice when you're actually not nice. Did you know men can't live together? I mean, throughout the whole world, there's always going to be someone in the crowd that will break out and do something, and it'll bring your sin out. When someone else sins, it encourages me to sin right back. I react to what you acted. Did you know that? Yes. Did you know your only problem in this world is God? Mm-hmm. We all have enmity against God. Yes. I mean, we're enemies of His because we don't want to keep His law. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy soul and all thy strength and your neighbor as yourself. I don't want to do that. And there's nobody has ever done that. Ever. They're just liars. So, there you have it. Now, let's read on because it really gets gooder and gooder as I read this. Now, it says here, not, verse 25, that he often should offer himself. In other words, he should not offer himself over and over again, even as the high priest enters into the Holy of Holies year by year with the blood of others, you know, goats and, you know, lambs and bulls and stuff like that. Since, verse 26, he must often have suffered from the foundation of the world. In other words, if he had to make a sacrifice on your behalf every time you sinned, he'd be busy. But now, once, at the completion of the ages, we're there. He has manifested for putting away of sin through the sacrifice of himself. So Jesus sacrificed on your behalf. In other words, he sacrificed himself so you wouldn't have to, Chad.
Amen. Praise God.
That's amazing. That's it. Why would he do that? Why would he do that? Why would he want to love a sinner? We're the only God that loves a sinner. Buddhists don't, and Hindus don't, and Muslims don't, and so on and so forth. They don't like sinners. If you don't follow their way, they just chop your head off and do whatever. They don't like you because they want to force you to do what's right. But our God doesn't do that. He forces himself to say, Jesus, I want you to go down there and they'll kill you, but just go ahead voluntarily, submit to it and die for them. That'd be your sacrifice, your offering, you're making the atonement. Do it for Jackie. Do it for, Peggy. You know, do it for them because they can't. They can't do it. They're not perfect. We are. You remember Jesus said it like this? I always do what's pleasing to my Father. I can't say that. I always do what's pleasing to my Father. I always do it. I don't do that. I always done what pleased myself. I always took care of myself. Always. And ruthless about it. And since I did it secretly, you didn't know I was doing it because I was sneaky about it. And I lied about it. I had no problem lying about that. I did it for myself. Anyway, it says here that he sacrificed himself on your behalf. And as it, verse 27, it is reserved for men once to die, and after that, judgment. So, in other words, as soon as you die, judge. You're going to be judged. Because after you die, he'll raise up everybody either to damnation or eternal. On the right hand, you go eternity, live in heaven. And on the left hand, you go to hell and, Hades. And then the judgment takes place. Guilty. How do you plead? Guilty. Well, I at least tried, some will say. Or at least tried. No, I've never met a Jewish person that said, I'm perfect. What I have met is, because God said, be perfect as I'm perfect. So they failed. But anyway, they always say, well, at least I tried. So what? Man at his best state, altogether vanity, best state. Don't tire of me saying all this because I'm just quoting the Bible. Your best state, I mean, when you're nice and so on, you go to hell. You don't go to heaven because you're trying to. And in fact, God says in this word, all your righteousness, I count that as a filthy rag. I don't count it. It's nothing. Man at his best state's altogether vanity. That's nice people. But then man in his worst state, all your righteousness, trying to be righteous, it doesn't work. You never did love me with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength. You gave lip service to me, but you didn't really love me. So I'm trying to erase this in your mind that you can't be perfect. You never have been, and you never will be, even for all eternity. Even though you go to heaven, you'll still not be good. Never. Why? Why? Even though you were raised a Methodist or, Presbyterian or something or other, and you're trying real hard, it doesn't work. It doesn't work for Catholics. It doesn't work for Jews. It doesn't work for Muslims. It doesn't work for anybody. Nobody has ever lived a holy life. Not God's kind of holiness. And God's kind of holiness is to give you His. This is God's kind of holiness. I love sinners, and I want to do everything for them. So, Jesus, go down there, and they'll kill you, and then volunteer for that. Say, I want to make that sacrifice for Louise. I want to make that sacrifice for Bert. I want to make that sacrifice for them, because they can't pay. But I can pay, and I will pay, and I want to pay. I want to. I'm going to egg them on. I'm going to halfway through the ministry, he just said, no more miracles and all that kind of stuff that I've been doing. Now, from now on, I'm going to confront the Jewish leaders. Mm-hmm. And they killed him. It wasn't long before they just got so mad at him. Mm-hmm. I don't like your happiness all the time and telling people that they're going to heaven and so on and so forth. And they don't have to even do any work to get there. You have to earn your way, buddy. And so they killed him. Yeah. And Jesus said to them, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. They're crucifying me, and I'm their only hope. I'm the only hope they have, because they're not perfect. He even said to them, hey, if you have a sin against me, say it. What have I done that's not right? I obey the Roman laws. I obey the Jewish laws. I obey natural law. I obey everything. I've never broken any law. I am the end of the law. If you want to be like me, you'll be perfect. But nobody ever has been. So that's amazing. That's amazing. I think You found out in the marriage that he's not perfect. Yeah. Did you see that once or twice? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well.
If she lies, she knows by now.
Yeah. Yeah. She knows. Yeah. So, but you can still love him. Yeah. Just forgive him. Mm-hmm. And just say, you're no good, but I'll forgive you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's how you make it.
That's the way it is.
Because you have to love your enemies.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yes, right.
Under
the same roof.
So, how many know that the only way marriage can make it is that you love people that sin? I mean, you have a will and he has a will, and it's probably not the same always.
They don't agree all the time.
Yeah. Yeah. But anyway, what I'm trying to point out is everybody's a contradiction to themselves. Forget God. You don't live up to your own standard. You don't live up to anything. So, don't look at Paul. Just look over here at me. So, being once offered to bear the sins of many, all of us, Christ shall appear a second time, in our lifetime, without sin to those expecting him for salvation. Wow, that's amazing. So Christ is coming back, and for us, we're going to heaven. I'm getting my new body, and I'll be married to Jesus, and happy as the man is invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb, and I won't be sinning anymore because my new nature is me related to him, and he does all the work, and I get all the credit. Actually, the love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and all those things, those are all gifts of God that came from him being in me and liking me and doing the work, and then they don't glorify me for doing it. They glorify my Father, which art in heaven, because that God sent him to help me out, to do that for me, because God knew Jim's no good. And I like that. I did it deliberately and consciously. But now I don't have to do anything. I can just be me. I can just be me. How many know that Jesus loves you and you don't have to labor, be heavy laden? He'll just give you his rest, his peace. Can you say, oh, God's not mad at you. He forgives you. He sent me to die for you. So my sacrifice, my offering, my keeping the covenant was for you. I didn't do it for myself. You can kill me, but I'll just jump up again because my Father in heaven likes me. Because I am perfect. He was confident of that. So, God wants you to know, hey, be happy from now on. Yeah. Why? Because you don't have to do anything. Besides, you can't. Besides, you didn't. Besides, you never will. Not even for all eternity. You'll always have to be in relationship to Jesus because you're a derivative of him. Mm-hmm. He's the vine, you're the branch. Mm-hmm. And if you break the branch off, it won't bear fruit. Because the fruit came from Jesus. That was just Jesus. Love, joy, peace, case. That's all Jesus. That's not you. None of that was you. You're not perfect. But he's perfect. I mean, his love is unconditional. Yours is all conditional. His joy is not unspeakable and full of glory, but his is. And his peace and so on. Everything, that peace passes all understanding. You can't even understand God's peace. Because God's peace is not getting along with your neighbor. His peace is that he's not mad at you. He's never been. He's for anybody. He loves anybody that's a sinner. And he can almost be blindfolded and just say, you. Because it's everybody is a sinner. Everybody is selfish. Everybody is completely self-absorbed. Everybody is stressed. Everybody is nervous, fretting over bad people winning and good people, suffering and so on. You're completely, everything you do is sin. Apart from faith, everything is sin. Apart from faith in his word, in his promise, I just read you the promises. Jesus did all of that for you. And you can't change it. That's the way he wanted to do it. Because he loves you. I wouldn't. I wouldn't love me, but he loves me. He loves me. If I met a person like me, I'd hate him. I'd be in competition right away. Well, I'm smarter than you. I'm stronger than you. I'm, you know, whatever. I'd be in competition. How many know that God doesn't want you to sweat it? As a matter of fact, when the high priest goes into the Holy of Holies, he takes off his robes so that he doesn't sweat in the presence of God. So when they say no sweat, that's what it's talking about. Because when you're in the presence of God, there's no sweat because he does everything for you and then in you and then through you, and he gets all the glory. And what does he do with the glory that he gets? He just gives it back to you. Isn't that funny? He gets all the glory for doing, paying your debt, you know, forgiving your sins and everything. And then he gets all that glory and he just gives it to you. Just, I want to share this with you. It's crazy. It's crazy. I don't know. I wish the whole Fort Worth was here today to hear this message. I think it's good. I like this message, Clay.
Yes.
I like it because it doesn't require anything of me.
Man.
Because everybody else is a liar. They're all deceived. There are frogs going out of the demons' mouths, and those frogs are, you know, a conspiracy that's being wrought up right now for the great tribulation. And you're deceived if you think you're good, or you could be good, or you ought to be good. You're not any of those things. You can't be good. You won't be good. You've never been good, and you never will be good forever. But yet, I believe there are one or two of you that think, well, I was good the other day. I don't know. I probably am not communicating right, but you're all sinners. All have sinned, fallen short. All have sinned, fallen short. I don't know. It's kind of clear to me. It's kind of clear to me. So, in other words, God doesn't expect any good from anybody here. But he expects his son to do what he was told, and Jesus always does what the Father tells him, so he always does it. He said, I want you to go down and love Jim Borcher. I want you to love, you know, Chad Russell. I want you just to love people that don't deserve it. Jesus, are you sure, Father? They're sinners. We got them under the law. Let's persecute them, prosecute them. Let's get them. Mm-hmm. No, Jesus, you're going down there to show my mercy. You're going down there to show favor to people that don't deserve it. Wow. Jesus said, here am I. Send me. Here am I. Don't go down, Father. Send me. I'll do it. Let him crucify me. Let him do all kinds of evil against me. Won't bother me. Won't bother me because I know who I am. And I know that Chad can't do it. I'll do it for him. Peggy can't do it. I'll do it for her. Did you know that people don't want to look at themselves as they really are? Okay, I'll close with this. If you sin, when you sin, he is faithful and just to forgive you of all sin. Now, how many know that that's really neat, that he forgives you of all sin? I mean, you don't have any. There's no condemnation. Anyone in Christ, there's no condemnation for you. It's gone. Because you walk after the Spirit, by just believing that, and not after the flesh. And then that's the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. So you're not condemned now because you never were able to do it in the first place. You never had the capacity or the ability to be perfect. Why? Because you'd have to be in relationship to Jesus to do that. That's why he says, if you believe, then you'll see the kingdom of God. You'll see the kingdom of God. If you're just believing. Well, that's easy, believing, because they're promises. I like standing on the promises of Jesus. And that's all I stand on. I don't stand under any laws. There are no laws that convict me and condemn me. Well, there are, but I don't pay attention to them. And so there are all those laws, but they don't apply to me because mercy triumphs over judgment. Mercy always trumps judgment every time. Woohoo! That's exciting. So since I have that ACE, you know, get out of jail free card, don't forget mercy, God. Mercy, mercy, mercy me, mercy me. And God says, is that Jim? Yeah, he's always here with that mercy card. He's always here because I need mercy. Amen?
Amen?
I'm not afraid of my sins. I'm not at all scared about them because Jesus already paid for them. He isn't going to pay for them in the future. He already paid for them in the past before there was a foundation of the world. Before there even was a world, he already paid for everything. And then on Calvary, he then secured it. And now it's mine forever and ever. Anyway, so, but then the scripture doesn't stop where I stopped. He is, if you sin, he's faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Wow, that's a promise. There's a promise. He's not only merciful to you, but he left the sin in you, you see. But now he says, and I'll remove the sin. I'll take it away. I absolutely take it away. I did the first, forgive, but I left the sin there. Now I'm going to remove the sin. I don't need your help. I don't need your cooperation. I don't need you to be a co-worker with me or a co-redemptress or whatever. Stop it. I'll do it all myself. How many know God is really good at being perfect? And whereas you and I are not. We always will gum up anything we touch. That's amazing. You can gum up anything you touch. I mean, it was okay until you touched it. Now you put your fingerprint on it and ruined that thing. So how many have that gift, the gift of the some kind of spirit, that I can gum it up? I'm a gummer-upper. Anyway, so if he cleanses you from all unrighteousness, you don't help him there. That means all, like there won't be any. I mean, he forgave your sin. Now he's removing it, taking away the power of sin, not just the guilt of sin, chair 4. Now he's taking away the power of sin, chair 5, so that we can be lovers, because when a disciple's fully taught, he'll be like the master, spirit, soul, body. How many believe that that's in the future? No, it's not. It's in the future, technically, because he hasn't yet come. But the minute that trump sounds, that's it. And it's still within time. It's still within time. The eternity hasn't started yet. So if he can do all of that, that's good news. Golly, gosh. I can't imagine anyone sitting still in their chair. Just somebody jump up and, you know, jump over a pew or something. That's good news. That Jesus Christ loves you so much. You didn't make him do that. He just wanted to do it. He's just like that. After he gave the law, he just said to Moses, look, Moses, you want to see my glory? Okay, I'll show you my glory, but only from the backside, because you're a law keeper guy. So I'll show you my glory. So he put his hand over the cleft of the rock and then walked by him, and then all he saw was his backside and said, well, I want to see your glory. Well, that was my glory to a law person. If you're under the law, that's my glory. Did you hear what I just said? So otherwise, now we see him face to face. Show us the Father and we'll be satisfied. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Now we see Jesus face to face. Even though you don't see him face to face, you do by the promise. Yeah. You see, promises take time. Yeah. And promise means whatever he said, he'll accomplish that. The good work he began in you, he will surely complete. Well, there it is. There it is. I believe that. I believe that you won't recognize me in heaven, and I won't be up there to encourage you along the road, but I'm encouraging you right now, is I believe I'm the worst person in this whole church. I don't believe anyone except David. David is the only one. And you also? Well, there's two of you. Thank God I'm feeling right now at home. I'm feeling right here at home. So God wants you to laugh. Stop it taking yourself seriously. You're not serious. You're not sincere. There's no thing. I was sincere. You were sincere of what? You've never been sincere. You've always had your own agenda, always. Hello? Could I hear an amen? Yeah, could I hear a little? Yeah, yeah. I want a little louder. Yes, we're all phonies and fakes and liars and so on. That's who he loves. He's a weird God because he loves sinners. No other God loves sinners. It's our only God. He's the true and living God because he's done everything for you. Abraham, my son, God himself will provide for himself a lamb for a burnt offering. That was Jesus. And he said, John 8:56, he said, Abraham saw my day. He was about to kill his son, but when God said, hey, well, don't lay a hand on that boy. I don't want you to kill your son. I'm going to kill mine. He said, Jesus saw my day. Jesus saw my day. 2,000 years ahead, he saw it, and he said, I see his day. Someday God will sacrifice his own son. He doesn't want me to kill my son. Made that clear to me. He wants to kill his son for everybody, all mankind. Buddhists, Hindus, witchcraft people, Satanists, it doesn't matter to God. He loves everybody. Did you know that? God loves everybody. I wouldn't waste my time on certain people. You know what I mean? I look on that thing to see who is this one. No. Don't answer that peg. Get off. Don't. I don't want to talk to that person. I already shared and they're stubborn and stiff-necked and done. I don't want to tell them. Well, you don't know I think that, but that's what I'm thinking. Well, this one's no good. This one's no good. How many know that people are just people? It's people. And all people are alike. How many here, and I know there's always someone here that thinks you're better than I am. That's funny, Bert. That's good. Smarter, cleverer, gooder, nicer. But you know what? The Bible disagrees. It totally disagrees. It says all. I mean, all just sounds like all. I don't know. It doesn't sound like some. It sounds like all. If all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. You know, when I married Peggy, she only had two sins. One when she was four, she broke a window and didn't want to tell her parents. And then the other one when you were 10. Oh, you broke it when you were 10? Well, whatever. She always tells the truth. I always get it mixed up. But anyway, however it is, you only had those two sins. But since then, I've improved her sin level.
What was the other one?
Oh, yeah.
Broke the window.
Yeah, you betrayed her friend. So she had those. But since then, she's had a lot of sins, especially living with me, sinning so openly and happily. And she's ticked off. You're always like that. You know, how come, you know, you can be so happy? Well, I'm going to heaven. I'm going to heaven. I read the Bible. You should read it, Peg. It's neat. It's really cool. It accepts us exactly as we are. It doesn't want us to behave. God has never wanted you to behave because you can't. There's nobody, 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 nobody. There's nobody. So, this is good news. I hope you think it's good news. Because it'll save your soul. Jesus saves. That's what Jesus means. Jesus saves. He shall save. It's future. He shall save. You're not saved yet. I mean, you think you're saved because you have a new heart. You're not saved yet. Saved is saved, being saved, and shall be saved. So it's a process. None of us are saved until after you're dead. After you're dead, that's when you get saved. So you haven't seen it yet. But anyway, so Jesus is coming back for a bride without spot, without wrinkle, without any such thing. Wow. That's amazing. That's amazing. So this is good news. I didn't share it probably correctly, but, you know, it's the best I have. I tried my best. So it's too happy.
Mercy.
It's too happy. Mercy doesn't make sense to us. Mercy doesn't make sense to us. How can you live with someone that's a killer? How can you live with someone that's a murderer? How can you live? You know, you can't. You hate that person. But God doesn't. God loves that person. I mean, that's why Abraham, he wasn't perfect. He wasn't perfect. Isaac and Jacob and Joseph and everybody messed up. That's the whole Bible is all about the sins of the Jews. And then in the New Testament, the sins of the Christians. And he's still judging us today. He's still finding sin in the church today. We're lukewarm. You know, we love God, but we also love this world. How many know you love this world? I mean, you want this world to make sense. It's not going to make sense. Ever. So don't even try to make sense. You don't have a brain that's able to do that. You'll never make sense out of this Bible. Well, that makes sense. Oh, it does not. Nothing makes sense. Everything in the Bible, my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. What God is saying right there doesn't make any sense to anybody. But I'm taking it. I'm taking that because it fits me. It really fits me. Wow. I'm not as good as Chad, but I think you're kind of catch up to me, but you haven't gotten there yet. Good news. Let's close in prayer. David.
Father, we're just thankful because of your mercy. Thank you that you come to deliver us and then do the delivering yourself. From the very beginning to the very end. It's all you. It's all you. You came, you shed your blood, you took the blood into the presence of the Holy Father, and now we've been delivered, and now you stick with us and give us the Holy Spirit, and you manifest yourself in us.